Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. At the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, we are encouraged to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our example. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of Old Testament witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, buffeting us from all sides. And let us run with endurance the race of our lives that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, in other words, the pioneer of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down in victory at the right hand of the throne of God the Father." Hebrews 12:3, "For when you think about your own cross, consider Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, the same hostility, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, so you will not grow weary fainting in your soul." One of the Lord's greatest examples came the night before he went to the cross, detailed in John chapter 13, beginning in verses 3 to 5. Jesus, knowing that God the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God the Father, and he was going back to God the Father, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, Jesus girded himself. John 13, 5, "Then Jesus poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe their feet with the towel with which he was girded." The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his unconditional love for us through service. For even though he was higher than us as God the Son, he was made a little while lower than the angels as Jesus Christ in true humanity. He was not self-seeking. Rather, he demonstrated self-sacrifice. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 15. "So when Jesus had washed their feet and had taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?' John 13, 13, 'You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right to do so, for I am your teacher and your Lord.' John 13, 14, 'If then I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.' John 13, 15, 'For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you.' John 13, 16, 'For truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him.' John 13, 17, the payoff: 'If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them.'" So we do well as believers in Christ when we follow the lead of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God the Holy Spirit by not merely knowing what to do as he leads us into all the truth, not gathering knowledge for knowledge's sake, but also in doing what the Lord and the Spirit are requesting of us as well. So welcome to a place where we are learning how to serve by following the Lord's example at the prompting of our mentor and teacher, God the Holy Spirit. The opening song is "Flawless" by Mercy Me.
There's got to be more than going back and forth, from doing right to doing wrong, 'cause we were taught that's who we are. Well, come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars,
how deep the wound is, no matter the pain,
a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness. But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
The cross has made you flawless.
No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is a cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Oh, yeah. Take a breath, smile, and say right here, right now, I'm okay, because the cross was enough. And like a hero takes the stage when introduce you to grace, grace, God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
The cross has made you flawless.
And no matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain,
let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for opening our eyes to our total depravity, and thank you for giving us all the resources we need to live the holy life you planned for us in eternity past, the resources, the cross. You have indeed made us flawless. Help us to know the progressive guidance of God the Holy Spirit, seeing his leadership with spiritual eyes. Edify us with his enabling power to actually do the things the Spirit is leading us to do in spite of the inner contradictions that are instigated by the flesh indwelling us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Today's lesson, our experiences make us groan. Our experiences make us groan. We continue our study of the first passage of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 3, for what the Mosaic law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God the Father did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and sending him as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Our will is not as powerful as the flesh in us. So there's a purpose behind God not removing the flesh at the moment of salvation, which he easily could have done. He has all the power. The flesh teaches us through experience. Our will is not as powerful as the flesh, so every time we try to tame the flesh with our inadequate power, we see exactly how weak we are. In other words, there are just some things that we cannot do. As believers in Christ, when we get tired of trying to do the things we can't do, we realize that we have God the Holy Spirit ready, willing, and able to do everything for us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But see, until we realize our utter helplessness, we keep expending effort and failing, and we groan, oh, because we thought we were going to be able to do something. The flesh in our unregenerate body will continue to haunt us until we die physically. So dependence on the indwelling Trinity, specifically God the Holy Spirit, who makes a temple, who makes our body a temple, is our only hope for happiness. So that's what we're going to talk about in this lesson today. Let's stop for a moment to take the offering. We're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall in just a moment, and we appreciate your gifts because the Lord Jesus Christ provides you with a way to be generous. You get a chance to give of your treasure so that others can benefit. There is no greater expression of the unconditional love of God that resides inside the believer in Christ than giving. And if you are benefiting from this teaching, show your appreciation through your gift. The Apostle Paul appreciated the giving of the one church that helped him financially, the church at Philippi, a city in East Macedonia in Greece. And here's what he says to them in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. He said, "You yourselves, Philippians, also know that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." Philippians 4:16, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." Philippians 4:17, "And not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." The Lord has blessed Barah Ministries with more than enough. And as we continue in his service, I am confident that more than enough will be followed by God with abundance. We appreciate your generosity, and we are confident that the Lord is rewarding your generosity similarly, both with more than enough and with abundance as well. We certainly are happy about all the blessing that he is crediting to your account as you give unselfishly to this ministry for the benefit of others. So let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. We are sanctioned by God to charge for anything we provide that allows you to worship God. We choose not to exercise that right. No price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We need and appreciate your financial support so we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers God provides. Please be generous of your support of God's work through this ministry. And I don't know about you, but that last lesson I think was awesome. Pastor said it was sad. Yeah, give him a hand. That's definitely worth it. Because I've been there trying to do the lessons, and you can definitely wander down a path and get lost and feel just horrible. And when you stray from the truth. And, the thought that experiences are what we're supposed to be going through is freeing. That's not sad. That's awesome. So when you are going through a hard time, then you're like, this is where I should be. This is where God is helping me. And I think that's awesome. And he totally flipped my offering on its head. Because I was, not completely, but last week I was inspired by the study of mixing. He said, do not mix the world and God's world, because it happens every day. It just, that's what happens to us, as we are mixed into this world. And he said, he was going to start teaching us about Calvinism and other religions and stuff, and that kind of would be a mixture into here. And, he didn't, which is awesome. He stopped it. The Holy Spirit guided him into what the truth was. Just like people that are learning about counterfeit cash, they never see counterfeit cash. They always see the real stuff. You always see the real truth. You always see the Bible here. And that's all you're ever going to see, and that's amazing. And during the last lesson, he mentioned how parents are always willing to just dive on the grenade or fall on the sword for their children, and it's so true. And he mentioned how, for me personally, that it's probably pretty crazy now because William's starting to walk, and I am getting that helicopter parent where I'm just hovering over him, trying to watch the corners of everything. And sure enough, on vacation, he grabs a drawer that he's never seen before and starts pulling it open. And before I could get there, the drawer pulled into him, and he lost his footing and hit his lip square on the corner of the drawer. And we had that exact conversation that he just said. Oh, weren't you there? Well, I wasn't there. I was watching. We need to work on our communication. If you're going to be in there, I got to be in him. We did that. He called it. We had no, and he just made it up, but it was true to life. And it's so true because, you know, we're so worried about, as parents, that we want to just do everything for them and help them, and you can't. They have to go through the experience. He has to have fallen on his head. And for us, too, it was for us to come together. That could have easily caused division between me and Emily. You know, then now we're on vacation, and now we're sour over him falling. It's your fault. It's my fault. It's your fault. And neither of us want to take blame because you feel bad. And that's going to cause a division. And, you know, Pastor brought up another situation that can cause a division. You have somebody that's acting stupidly in your life. And I have two bosses, and one of them is consistently stupid because he's consistently inconsistent. And it's so true. Is he going to act differently now? No, he's never going to change. He's always going to be this goofball. And so what can I do? You know, go on these, you know, behind his back and talk to people and cause this kind of cancer of gossip and then, you know, tear down his authority? Or do I stand strong behind him and build him up no matter what? You know, and that's another thing that can cause division. And the same thing can happen here at the church. Your money can be pulled away with other things, with fun things, and, you know, there's stuff to do on this holiday weekend. How many millions of people are traveling this week? And you could have gotten away and traveled and avoided your church and your spiritual life and your ability to give. And that would cause a division, and that's the mixing that he was talking about. You know, and that last lesson was just amazing how he talked about how, you know, I'm probably the worst then. If you're worst, I'm the tax collector, so I'm even worse. So he's probably at home thinking, Denny's going up there, that guy, and you don't know about him. And it was such a great lesson, you know. He showed how we all do that, where we, even in, you know, when I was in systematic theology myself, I would say, they can't even pray, poor guys. They don't even know how to talk to God. And that's not true. Like, God wouldn't come through for them just as much as he would come through for me. So, you know, my verse for this week is 1 Peter. Now I'm losing it here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And I think it fits perfectly because with me and Emily, he was seeking to devour our relationship and divide us with, you know, an injury. And that can happen every day with William. And with work, he was seeking to devour me by getting me to ruin the authority structure of my company by bad-mouthing or, you know, aligning with, you know, the people that you work with, talking bad about somebody. It makes you feel good. It makes you unite. But that's not the way you should unite. And with the church, it's the same thing. You know, he's just waiting to devour this church. But we know he can't because we have absolute hope in our God. And we have absolute hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, the saying that God saves the best for last is that last lesson was the best. And this next one is going to be even better. So stick around and keep supporting this ministry. And we really appreciate what you've done so far. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deacon Denny. Appreciate your offering messages always. They're inspiring. Today's study, our experiences make us groan. Our experiences make us groan. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. Why? We were by nature children of wrath from physical birth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says this, among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. All of us as believers lived formerly in the lusts of our flesh. And that was all we were at that time, indulging the desires of the flesh, and indulging in the desires of the mind of the flesh. And as we get down the road of Romans 8, we're going to see that the flesh has a mind too. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Children whose relationship with God the Father was wrath. See, when we lived the law of sin and death, our relationship with God the Father was wrath. He was going to inflict his wrath on us, which is the lake of fire, the second death. We were all set to die the second death from physical birth. But we chose to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now, in union with Christ, you believe Christ Jesus, you believers in Christ, who were formerly far off, have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The Lord's work of expiation at the cross repaired the breach between God and man. And now there is no condemnation because we are now in union with Christ. God the Father is totally satisfied with the propitiatory work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. And he is only satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and would never accept anything that we would think would be getting his approval. We can't do it. And so we believers in Christ have been placed in a position. We were in a position called in Adam as at physical birth when we were children of wrath, and now we're in a position called in Christ, in union with Christ, and we share in his risen life. We hear those words, but what does it mean that we share his risen life? It means we share in everything related to Jesus Christ, especially the fact that we're going to be resurrected from the dead one day. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29a say this, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection life. What are the good deeds to a resurrection life? Father, I believe in Christ. That's the good deed to the resurrection life. You do the good deed of asking Christ for salvation, and he will give you the resurrection life. And I give... Oh, that was the whole thing. So we are eternally secure and cannot lose our salvation. John chapter 10... Verse 28 says, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. That's Jesus Christ talking about his believers. There it is, right there. It is, we are in union with Christ. This is Christ, and this is you, and we're in union, and no one will snatch us out of his hands. Impossible, eternal security. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see the two poles. We believers in Christ are possessors of the life, the law of the Spirit of the life, the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the eternal life. You know, most believers in Christ, most Christians, you tell them, you ask them, do you have eternal life? They say, yes. And you say, well, when's it click in? Oh, after I die. No. No, you get eternal life from the moment of salvation. And if you're a believer in Christ, you're living the eternal life right now. You're living the resurrection life right now. You're living the Zoe life right this minute. And so we are the current possessors of the life, the resurrection life. And we are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit as that life's source of power. So we would never, as Christians, as believers in Christ, think that there was something that we had to do to power that life, because our human life is completely inadequate to resurrect anything from the dead, not to resurrect any situation that we have going on in our life from the dead, much less, you know, our whole being resurrected from the dead. So the Holy Spirit is the source of the power for the Zoe life. John 10:10 says this, "The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy." That's what Deacon Denny was talking about in the offering message. That he's always prowling around looking for somebody to devour. He's always trying to suck you into the things that will hurt you. But he cannot have the victory. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ says in John 10:10, "I came that they may have the Zoe life, the resurrection life, and have it abundantly." And so that's the life that God has given to you, the resurrection life, which is a life of abundance, not a life of scarcity. Yet in spite of all this goodness that we have in our lives, being converted from children of wrath to children of the living God, being converted from sinners to saints, becoming priests, ambassadors, justified, redeemed, reconciled, all the great things that the Lord has done for us, giving us absolute righteousness and giving us eternal life and eternal security. In spite of all those things, all that goodness, we groan. Our experiences frustrate us because this body of ours is not yet redeemed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2a say, "We know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house, our earthly tent, we groan." Let's enjoy a music break, and then we'll see exactly what that means. What does it mean that we groan? And the music break is "More Precious Than Silver" from various artists.
More costly than gold.
today's study, our experiences make us groan. So, kind of funny, I was reading a book about exercise because I've been looking to get back in the gym. I've been trying to get back in the gym. Right? And so, I amuse you. So, this book recommends 4 exercises, you know, and I just to put it into some perspective, I mean, I used to work out with personal trainers before I had my rotator cuff surgery, so I really know how to exercise, and I used to be worked out by some of the Attila the Huns of the personal training world, and this book was recommended 4 exercises, so I started doing the 4 exercises, and it says, you know, just do these, 2 sets of these 4 exercises 3 times a week. And then after you've done that for 2 or 3 weeks, then kick it up to 4 exercises, 4 sets of these 4 exercises 3 times a week. And I said, okay, that's great. You know, one of them is a seat squat where you just kind of have 2 weights in your hands and you just squat down until you hit a seat and then stand up, you know. And so, like my habit over the last couple years, I was pretty inconsistent. And I was only able to do it once a week. And I think I did the 4 exercises, 2 sets, once a week for about 3 weeks. But, you know, maybe on 1 week it was Monday, 1 week it was Wednesday, the next week it was Friday. But it was just really nothing. And, you know, in my mind I'm thinking, that's not going to help. And then the other day, and I had been having some problems with my hip, you know, the right hip. So I was thinking, man, if I could just get a little muscle mass in my quads or in my glutes, you know, maybe I get rid of this hip issue. And the other day, I was standing up, and I just exploded up, you know, like I haven't done in a long time. And I was thinking, wow, that is so awesome. That's so awesome. Just once a week, do anything, and it can really make a difference. That's not what they tell you, though, when they're trying to sell you all the supplements, is it? Right? They don't say, hey, old people, if you just do it once a week, that might not be bad. It's better than no times a week. And so it was a surprise to me because I had a whole different thought in my head about it. And one of the reasons I wasn't doing it 3 times a week is because it was making me groan. You know? It's like working out is an experience. You know, in the last lesson, we were talking about the idea of God the Holy Spirit teaching us through experiences. What it really means is God the Holy Spirit takes us to the gym. Either get off the couch and let's go to the gym. And this thing you're about to do, it's going to be kind of rigorous. You know, the experiences that we have in our lives are pretty rigorous experiences. And, you know, what's the first thing we do when we hear we're going to the gym? Oh, man. We groan, right? And, you know, 90% of working out is getting to the gym. And then once you get there, it almost doesn't matter what you do. But then once you get there, you know, you do those exercises, and after about 3 weeks of once a week, yeah, you're groaning, but you're starting to see the benefit of it. It's really cool. And, that, you know, that's kind of the way it is with God the Holy Spirit, that He is a person who is leading us into a series of experiences that certainly make us groan. And we like the couch a lot better than we like the groaning. But the couch isn't really where we get strong. Being in our comfort zone really isn't where we get strong. Where we get strong is when God the Holy Spirit takes us into these experiences. You know, I have my fanatic friend Zia here. He asked me to go on a hike one time. If Zia ever asks you to go on a hike, I just want to tell you this. Say no, I am not going on a hike. The happiest day of my life was when Zia came back here with a bad, like his knee is all messed up. And, you know, what's wrong with it? It's the ligament, right? It's ACL, LCL, MCL. I hope it's all of them. And I hope as soon as he gets through with that, which is going to take him like 18 months, I hope right after that he does the other one. Like he pulls a hamstring and then he does the other one. That's what I'm hoping. Because he's Iranian, so he's a little fanatic. You know what I mean? But he took me on a hike. You know, I said, well, how long is the hike going to be, man? He said, well, it's about 3 miles. And I said, okay, well, that doesn't seem too bad. Had no idea that it was straight uphill. At first, it was a 45-minute drive to get there, and then it's straight uphill 3 miles through tarantulas. We saw a tarantula, man. A tarantula came up. Hey, ain't no brothers been up here. So, I don't know. He's crazy. He's insane. So I'm so happy he's injured. But I will tell you that after that hike, I did feel really good. You know, after the 3 mile hike, I felt invigorated. But during the hike, I was groaning. And of course, he had his dog there with him. The dog's just running up ahead and then coming back like, why are you guys so slow? So, well, today's study, our experiences make us groan. And when we think that there's the couch and the comfort zone, and then the thing that makes us groan, we always think that the right place to be is in that comfort place, and the wrong place to be is in the groaning. And the groaning could be that repetitive sin that you keep doing, and then beating yourself up and wondering, why am I still doing that? But there's a lesson in it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2 are worth looking at to give us a look at the groaning of our experiences. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 says this, therefore we believers in Christ do not lose heart during that time when we're groaning. But though our outer man, our physical body, is decaying as we get older, your inner man is being renewed day by day by God the Holy Spirit. So when we're going through those groaning experiences, we're sitting there thinking, oh man, there's something wrong with me. Ah! When, as Denny said in the offering message, God's got you right where he wants you. And where does he want you? He wants you groaning. You know, we got Larry Collins carrying a purse around these days, you know, because he had a surgery and now he's got to carry a purse around. And I'm thinking, you know, I was thinking, I was seeing back there, say, Larry, that doesn't even match your outfit, man. Can we help him out? You know, I wanted the ladies in the congregation to help him out to get a purse that matches his outfit. You know, maybe we could get him the purse with some shoes. But it's decidedly inconvenient, isn't it, Larry? It's decidedly inconvenient to wait for your body to heal from the inside out as this particular wound does. And as you go through that, you're groaning. But what I think's amazing is that God put that situation in his life anyway. Because what is he doing by putting that situation in his life? What he's doing is healing him. What he's doing is preparing him for a long run, right? And that's amazing. And we certainly don't think, when we're carrying the not-so-matching purse around, that that's something that God has given us that's absolutely amazing in our life. Because in the temporal realm, things seem to be getting worse for us as we age. And the flesh seems to get louder. And our experiences of ourselves start to be more disturbing. Yet inwardly, we are being progressively and systematically changed inside by God the Holy Spirit as he conforms us to the image of the Son. And God the Holy Spirit is not going to fail with you. You are not going to be the first person that he fails with. But those things that we look at and we groan about that we think aren't so cool are really the things that are preparing us for this transformation into the image of the risen Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for momentary light affliction, and that's a reference to trials and suffering, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. What does that mean exactly? It means that if I could provide you with an accurate list of Paul's hardships in his life. It would blow your mind compared to your troubles. Yet he calls all these things that have happened to him, and he was flogged, stoned to death. You name it, he had it done to him. And yet he calls those things momentary and light afflictions. And the only way for him to be able to call those momentary and light afflictions is for him to put his suffering in the context of eternity. And in the context of eternity, that groaning, causing activity is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 12, where he's talking about how he went to the third heaven and he saw things that men are not even allowed to describe. Things exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen in the physical realm, but at the things which are not seen in the spiritual realm, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The physical realm will fade away. Your car, your house, your clothes, your money will fade away, but the spiritual realm never will. Your wealth is in the spiritual realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. We believers in Christ know that if the earthly tent, that's our current physical, mortal, unredeemed body, if the earthly tent, that is our house, is torn down, that is destroyed by dying, we have a building, a resurrection body from God, a house not made with human hands, not created by our mortal mom and dad, but instead a house made by God, which is eternal in the heavens, which will be with us forever and ever and ever. And I see absolutely no evidence in the Bible that we will move from this mortal body to an interim body, to a resurrection body. See, no evidence of that middle state. And Paul is certainly not talking about a middle state. So I don't know who made that up. But Paul is saying there's the mortal body and then there's the one that God makes. And God works in ones. He's not a two guy, right? So he's probably got one resurrection body for you, and you're probably going to get it since your mortal body will go into the ground. He doesn't want you walking around naked with a soul and a spirit in heaven. And you are definitely recognizable to family and friends in heaven, which is good news for you, except for those you owe money to. So as believers in Christ, we have something to look forward to, this resurrection body. 2 Corinthians 5:2, for indeed in this house, this mortal house, we groan. And what is one of our groans? That we're longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, the resurrection body. 2 Corinthians 5:3, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. Now, see, you just thought I was being funny, but there's the Lord saying the same thing, that he doesn't want you to be naked. So if we don't keep our eyes on the eternal things that are coming, we will groan because of what we experience today, because we won't remember, why am I groaning? Why was I doing that one exercise, four exercises, two sets, one time over 3 weeks? Why was I doing all that groaning? I was doing all that groaning so I could have that one moment when I stood up and exploded out of my seat because my quadriceps and my glutes are starting to fire again like they used to when I was 58. I'm not going to get crazy. It's not like back when I was 20. So we need to keep our eyes on what's coming. 2 Corinthians 5:4. For indeed, while we're in this earthly tent, we groan, being burdened, because we don't want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. This body of ours will be swallowed up by life. See, here's what that means. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And what is it that a potter is doing to clay? Kneading it. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are molding and making us into the image of his Son. And our clay is being kneaded through experiences. And as that clay is being kneaded, we groan. But in the future, this groaning will turn to laughter and excitement and exultation and exhilaration. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God the Father, who gave us to God the Holy Spirit as a pledge. God the Holy Spirit in his sealing ministry made a signature guarantee that he would protect us and make us eternally secure, and that he would perfect us. He is protecting us and he is perfecting us and getting us exactly where they had planned to get us all along. 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in this mortal body, we're absent from the Lord. See, we are not put off by this life of experiences which cause us to groan. We realize they're a critical part of the resurrection life. Otherwise, God would not have allowed them to be our experience if they weren't a critical part of the resurrection life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we believers in Christ walk by faith and not by sight. We might not know why he's doing what he's doing or what he's doing, but we don't care because we express faith in Christ, and we know that who he is and what he says, we believe it. And that if he says that we're going to be in a place that's exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we ask or think, we don't have to see it. We know it. We confidently expect that what he says he is actually able to do. We are confident that everything we're going through right now is going to have God's intended result, even when we initiate stupid things that make us groan. Because we never know how God intends to use our failings for the good of all and for the good of us. I can tell you of a hundred times in my life when in a particular week I have done something that was absolutely idiotic. Why did you do it? If anybody ever knew you did it, they would think you were crazy. And then a day later, 2 days later, somebody comes to me who had done the exact same thing, and they're talking to me about it. And I look up at the ceiling and I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? Really? That's amazing. Because we're not just here for ourselves. We're here for others. We go through things. We lose parents. We lose friends. We have all kinds of stressful situations in our lives. And then a week later, somebody will be going through the same thing, and we say, come here, let me tell you about me. Let me tell you what I just went through last week. And they look at you and they say, really, you went through that? Man, I feel so much better because I didn't think you had anything going with you that was wrong. Oh, no, you got a pencil and paper? Let me list it. 2 Corinthians 5:8. So we are of good courage. We believers in Christ are of good courage, I, Paul, say, and prefer rather to be absent from this mortal body and to be at home face to face with the Lord. One day we will meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and he will evaluate us. What do you think he'll say to you about your life and about your contribution in doing the deeds that he set aside for you in eternity past? When you meet the Lord face to face, what will he say to you? Will he say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will he say, ew, ew? One day, we'll get that evaluation. And to tell you the truth, some things he'll say, well done, and some things he'll say, ew. The things that he says, ew, to will be burned up. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home in heaven or absent from home here on earth, to be pleasing to him. That's the truth. Ultimately, that's what all believers in Christ want. That's what our new self wants, to be pleasing to him. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat judgment, so that each one may be recompensed, that is, compensated for the deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether well done, my good and faithful servant, or ew, whether good or bad. See, our experiences make us groan. It's understandable. We want to be pleasing to the Lord, and working out makes us groan too. But there's nothing like it when you realize the payoff of tearing down your muscles. Strength. But spiritual strength is even more gratifying. Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the Mosaic law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God the Father did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. It's gratifying to watch, even though we groan, and to see that God has every base covered and that he will accomplish his purpose in us. And we simply watch the magnificent work of a powerful Lord, and we stay out of the way, not interfering with our thoughts of how we ought to be developed. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ makes a promise of salvation, it's a guarantee. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the way to salvation. I'm the truth of the Word of God. And I am the resurrection life, the Zoe life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life right at that moment. John 3:36. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. The closing song is Destiny.
Been on my mind. I've had a plan just made for you since before the beginning of time. I only want what's best for you. I'll work all things for good because I know you. This must be understood. I'll lead you to your destiny. Come take my hand and follow me. Just trust in me. Come taste and see that there is none, no one like me who will lead. And be to you your destiny. I am the lover of your soul, protector, valiant knight. I'll caress you, hold you near through all your days and nights. My banner over you is love. You are my precious bride. I died and rose to live again. I'll never leave your side. I'll lead you to your destiny. Come take my hand. Just trust in me. Come taste and see that there is none, no one like me who will lead you to and be to you. I will dry your tears and calm your fears. I won't let you go. I love you so. I your destiny.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful to you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us a destiny. And we're even more grateful that you've given us God, the Holy Spirit, to lead us to that destiny. And we just pray that you help us to continue to experience and to groan so that we might get the benefits of being actively involved in the Christian way of life and not passively sitting on the couch, atrophying, letting our spiritual life atrophy. And we ask for your continued support and assistance through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.